The following is a message from the pulpit of Parkside Baptist Church in Mesquite, Texas, led by Pastor Mike Wells.
All right, good. Thank you very much, fellas. Hey, please don't forget, of course, the Christmas presentation that we're trying to do. And, of course, that'll be up and coming. You don't want to miss that. That's next Sunday night, and that'll be at 6 o'clock. That's how come we have this out here. Brother Mason, are we getting that right there? There you go. And that's why we have this right here. This is not put up for somebody to come and be able to just kind of take a nap. And so you just understand that and invite somebody to come. There'll be a clear presentation of the gospel given. And so you invite somebody to come and be a part of that. It will be a phenomenal time together. Take your Bible and go to John chapter 6. And I want you to see some people that's offended here. John chapter 6 and verse 41. And then we'll look at verse 47 and 48. Here you'll see that here's the Jews, and the Jews are taking offense. The Bible says in John chapter 6 and verse 41, the Bible says, and the Jews then murmured at him because he said, I am the bread which came down from heaven. Look down in verse 47. The Bible says, verily, verily, I say unto you, he that believeth on me hath everlasting life. Look at verse 48. The Bible says, I am the bread of life. Now the Jews took exception to our Lord showing that he was and is the bread of life. They took exception to that, and they decided that they were going to be offended by that very thing. But they were not the only ones that were offended in this discourse. Look down, if you will, in John chapter 6 and verse 30, or John chapter 6 and verse 53. The Bible says, and Jesus saith unto them, verily, verily, I say unto you, except ye eat, it says, the flesh of the Son of Man and drink his blood, ye have no life in you. Look in verse 54. Whoso eateth my flesh and drinketh my blood hath eternal life. And I, watch what it says, will raise him up in the last day. Now, the problem was that the disciples that is about to be offended, or if you would please, about to talk bad about what our Lord is trying to show, was not going to listen to the total, stay with me now, to the total of what our Lord was saying before they passed a judgment. In other words, they were getting ready to pass a judgment without complete understanding. They were getting ready to pass a judgment prematurely without hearing everything that our Lord was about to teach. Now, can I tell you, in our day and time, we have to be very, very careful not to pass premature judgments without knowing the whole course of the matter. Matter of fact, if you were to look at several people in your Bible, you would see that Lot was one that made some decisions in his life that were very fatal. Matter of fact, he went down to that which was the area of Sodom and Gomorrah, and he cast his tent. He set up his tent with the lit facing the city, and in so doing, seeing the city lights at night, it enticed him, it tempted him. He succumbed to that which was the temptation. Then the next thing you find out is he's sitting in the gates of the city where, by the way, the fathers of the city would sit. So he had now gone to the city, but not just only gone to the city, but now he was a leader in the city. All right, but all that had to do with some decision making that was in his heart. If we would have looked at him sitting in the city, we could certainly pass the judgment and said, boy, I tell you what, wicked, wicked lie. And he was at that time, but our Lord waited to the end of his life and he called him Lot the righteous. All right, and so what we have to do many, many times over, more than not, is don't judge a person necessarily by what they're doing at the present time. You give them time to live out their life. Example, there are people, no doubt, sitting in this room that you and I would disagree sharply if we came to a conversation on child rearing. No doubt there's some people sitting in this room that we would probably disagree with what the Bible teaches out this, thus, or so. But if I give you grace and you give me grace and I help you to grow, which I am supposed to do, I believe that in time what would take place is both of us will agree on a Bible principle that would help to govern our lives, and it will be the same principle that governs our lives the right way. Sometimes you have to hear the whole conclusion of the matter. And I believe what was taking place with especially those that were the disciples, those that were walking with Christ, is they should have listened and they should have heard the whole thing rather than being premature and saying something and causing others to murmur. Now look in your Bible and see what takes place. John chapter 6 and verse 61, the Bible says, "And Jesus knew in himself that his disciples murmured at it." Now these are men of God, but yet they're murmuring at our Lord. Murmuring at our Lord. The Bible says, "And he said unto them," he says, "doth this offend you?" All right, then notice if you will in 62, the Bible says, and it says, "What and if ye shall see the Son of Man ascend," it says, "up where he was before." So he said, now wait a minute, does this thing offend you? Oh, well, let me ask you a question. If this thing offends you, then what if you were to see the Son of Man ascend up from where he was before? So in the context of a reading, he's asking the same question. Would this offend you too? All right, now watch this. Look at verse 63. The Bible says, "It is the Spirit that quickeneth. The flesh profiteth nothing. The words that I speak unto you, they are spirit." See, he's given explanation. They are spirit and they are life. So he's saying, wait a minute, if you would have heard the whole thing and listened to the whole teaching, he's telling the disciples here, then you would come to a complete understanding that these things that I'm speaking unto you are spirit and they are life. Okay, now you said, preacher, where are you going with this? Well, don't be too quick to give up on your parents when your parents are trying to teach you something that's for the long run. Don't be too quick on giving up on that which is your instructor, your maybe your Sunday school teacher, or maybe the preacher, or maybe somebody that's in your life that's trying to give you some principles and put those seeds in your life so that you'll be able to carry them through life for the long run. Okay? Don't be too quick. But sometimes principles are built upon principles. You know, there's many ways to take medicine in your life. When you get sick, here's what you can do. You can go in and take the whole bottle and say, you know, the bottle, the doctor told me to take this medicine. But if you notice what the doctor tells you to do, he will tell you to take the medicine, if you would, a little bit at a time. Now, the medicine is that which is going to help you with the disease, with the problem, with the cold, or with whatever you're contending with. But the doctor's going to tell you to take a little bit at a time, a little bit at a time, a little bit at a time, and it's building one upon the other as you take it to be able to strengthen you, whereby you're able to overcome what is ever hampering you physically. Well, the same thing is true about preaching. The same thing is true about counseling. The same thing is true when your parents are trying to train you. The same thing is true many times in businesses. What is it? And that is this. It is principle upon principle, precept upon precept, truth upon truth, all right? And so what you do is you layer it. By the way, they tell me this. Can I step on this? Is this safe? They tell me this. I had to ask. They tell me this. They say this. They say that when you wear layers and you go out and it's cold outside, that you are more protected than if you wear just a heavy coat that is not layer upon layer upon layer. All right? The same thing is true in your Bible living. The same thing is true as you step out and you serve Jesus Christ. The same thing is true. Okay? You take a little bit of principle here, a little bit of principle. Okay, watch this. I'm a parent. My wife and I have four children, three boys, one girl. And can I tell you, in rearing children, here's what we do understand. We can try and give them the whole ball of wax at once, and they might not be able to understand it, swallow it, or obey it. But if we give them a principle here, then we add to that principle here, then we add to that principle here, then we add to that principle here. Okay, it's easier, if you will, to tear up a book that is not thick. But the thicker the book, if we were to place our hands on the book that is extremely thick because of the layers of pages, then it's more difficult to tear up. And the same thing is here about our Lord. The Bible says here in John chapter 6 and verse 64, the Bible says, "But there are some," it says, "of you that believe not, for Jesus knew from the beginning who they were that believed not, and who should betray him." All right? And so here we understand that our Lord is saying, no, wait a minute, fellas. Listen, you're not the one. You, all of you disciples, are not the one that was going to betray me. He said, and I'm teaching you these things. These things are spirit, and these things are true, all right? But they begin to murmur because they did not understand or grab hold of the entire truth. Now, let me speak to you for just a few minutes on living a life based on principle. Let's talk about building maturity through principles. Building maturity through principles. You know, as you decide that you're going to build principles in your life, here's what takes place. It begins to mature you to a point and a place where later on you'll look back, and there's people in this room that can identify with these that I'm saying right now, these words, and that is, you have grown so much in this past year, you look back and you say, it's incredible where I am today compared to where I was last year. I got many people in this room that have said that very thing. But you know why? Here's what you did. You have taken principles in your life and you have layered those principles. Let me give you a couple of truths. Statement number one, I'm going to give you just four principles of maturity that will help. Statement number one, establish principles in your life. Get some godly principles in your life. Let those principles be those things that lays the foundation whereby you can build upon. The Bible says over in John chapter 6 and verse 63, he said, it is spirit, it is the spirit that quickeneth. The flesh profiteth nothing. The words that I speak unto you, the Bible says they are spirit and they are life. All right, so he said, wait a minute. He said, understand. Now, the Bible teaches us that the word of God is spiritually discerned. All right, so when you're dead in trespasses and sin before salvation, you can pick up a Bible and see the facts of it, but you cannot understand the spiritual implications of it. Why? Because it's spiritually discerned. But when you get saved, the Holy Spirit moves in, takes up residence. Now, all of a sudden, when the Word of God is preached, when the man of God gets up and the man of God is preaching the Word of God, here's what takes place. All of a sudden, you see something and you say, wow, that is neat, because your spirit identifies with the Holy Spirit, and the Holy Spirit is using the tool of the Word of God to be able to train you, govern you, and direct you in the direction that you ought to be. All right, so for that reason, as a believer, I need to do some things. Number one, I need to establish some principles in my life. Find principles that are in the Bible to help govern and guide me in every decision-making process that I need to make. The Bible says in Proverbs chapter 4 and verse 20, the Bible says, my son, it says, unto my words, and incline thine ear unto my sayings. So here, that which is a father speaking to his son, he said, I want you to hear and I want you to attend. In other words, give attention, give attendance to these words. Don't let the words go out without taking residence within. All right, so when you come to church, and there's going to be times when you come to church, we have a lot of new members, and you come to church, all of a sudden preacher gets up and says, here, this is what the Bible says, this is the direction you ought to go, this is the direction you ought not to go, then what you need to do is you need to perk up the ears and say, yes, that's it. I see it in the Bible, and let the Bible be true, and that's the direction I will go. Proverbs chapter 4 and verse 22, the Bible says, they are life. Talk about the words that he was speaking unto his son. They are life. And it says, unto those that find them, and health, it says, to all their flesh. So there is healthy things that you can find in the Bible. Back in 1722, there was a man by the name of Count Nicholas Zinzendorf. Count Nicholas Zinzendorf. You don't want to say that when you're trying to sleep at night. All right, and Count Nicholas Zinzendorf, he was a writer, and he was very, very good. He was also greatly used of the Lord to help missionaries to go out and to reach a group of people that was called the Moravites. And as they would go out to reach this group of people, he would try to instruct them as to what to do and how to do it. And his writings became very well known in those days. He wrote an article back in those days. It's called The Order of the Mustard Seed. Now, by the way, the mustard seed, a very, very small granular seed. But he called The Order of the Mustard Seed. Here's what he said. He said, be kind to all people. Be kind to all people. Now, by the way, anybody can do that, but you know what that is? That's a mustard seed. That's a very, very small seed that's planted. Be kind to all people. He said in the order of the mustard seed, as he was training these missionaries, he said, seek their welfare. In other words, if you can do something good for someone, find a way to do it for someone. Do something good. Seek their welfare. And then he said this, win their soul to Christ. Win their soul to Christ. Billy Sunday used to say, sometimes you got to hit a guy in the belly with a stake before you can give him the gospel. Okay? Now, he wasn't trying to say that you have to do something in order to have some type of social outreach in order to give the gospel, but here's what he is saying. He's saying you can do things to be able to help people just to make it by. That's what he's saying. He's saying be kind to everyone. Now, you can be kind to everyone. You can say a nice word about everyone. That's something that you can do. Not only that, you can be that person that seeks for the welfare and the good welfare for all people to try and help them. Not only that, you can win people to Christ. You can talk to people about Jesus Christ. So what do? We establish some principles in our life. Put some principles in your life. What is it that you want to do? What is it, the direction that you believe God is leading you to do? There needs to be principles in your individual life, principles as a husband and wife, principles in your child rearing, principles in the way you're going to govern your family, principles in the way that you serve Jesus Christ. You need to have some principles. Well, get a pen out one day and write your principles down. What are your principles? You know, a lot of people don't have principles. What do you believe about this? Well, I don't know. Well, what do you think about this? Well, I don't know if I have an opinion. Well, you need to have the same type of opinion as God, and you need to get your principles from the Word of God that will help to govern your life. Okay, watch. Does it matter if your child drinks alcohol? Does it matter? Does it matter if they say curse words? Does it matter? Does that really bother you? Does it bother you that you have a child that lies? Does that bother you? Does it bother you that your child cheats on a test and doesn't think anything about it? Does that bother you? Does it bother you that when your child goes down the road and they're driving, they ignore all the speed limit signs? And then they brag about it. Does that bother you? Does it bother you that maybe you have a child and that child is very disrespectful to you? They don't say yes, ma'am. They don't say yes, sir. They don't say no, ma'am. They don't say, it's always uh-huh. Yeah. Whatever you say. Does that bother you? Now, wait a minute. We're going to show you what to do about that. Statement number one, establish some principles in your life. Statement number two, then build relationships based on those established principles in your life. Okay, watch this. Here we go. Brother Palmore, stand right beside me. Brother Craig, stand up, hold your Bible. Okay, here we go. All right. Brother Palmore is walking this direction. Okay, Brother Jonathan, come here. Okay, Brother Palmore is walking this direction really slow. Brother Jonathan's walking this direction really slow. And I've got a choice. Brother Jonathan's walking, let's say, away from the Bible, away from truth, gradually getting farther and farther away. Brother Palmore, now, he's not running to truth. He's just gradually walking toward truth. Now, I've got to decide, come back. I've got to decide, come back. I've got to decide where I'm going to walk. Okay, so here's one walking gradually to, one walking gradually away. All right, now, I've got to make some choices. Biblical relationships are based on established principles in life. Do I want to hang around somebody that is continually going down the wrong path? Do I want to hang around somebody that's continually going down the right path? What type of influences do I want in my life? Now, can I tell you, the more better influences you can get in your life and the better influences you can get in your children's life, the better off it's going to be. But you have to make choices in your life. Do I want that which is God? Come back again. Do I want that which is godliness? Do I want that which is ungodliness? And by the way, listen to me, kids. Don't you dare get mad at your parents when your parents rise up and say, no, you cannot be the friend of so-and-so. Don't be mad at them. You say, well, my parents don't have a right. Hey, listen to me. If you're living in their house, you're eating their food, you're drinking their water, you're sleeping on their carpet, they've got a right.
Amen.
Don't be somebody that is bullheaded about. And by the way, can I tell you, we need godly parents that would do the same. Hey, we might keep this way. This is pretty neat. But we need godly parents that would do the same. You know, parents that will rise up and we got to have some parents nowadays that love your kids enough to say no.
Amen.
We've got to have some parents nowadays that love, and you kids need to understand that your daddy has traveled down the road farther than you have.
Amen.
You say, he doesn't know much. Honey, child, he knows more than you do. So understand that when he says no, he might have insight more than you have. I'm saying this, okay? All of a sudden, in my life, as an adult, I see one person's gradually walking this way. I see one person's gradually walking this way. This person's always talking about God, positive things, exciting things, about things that God is doing in their life and about how God is answering prayer. And this person's over here, always bellyaching, always complaining, always this is not right, and that is not right, and I tell you what, I just don't know what God is doing. And just, okay, now wait a minute. Now, I don't have to be mean to either one of them. Come back. I don't have to be mean to either one of them. I don't have to be mean to anybody that works at my workplace. I don't have to be unchristlike to anybody that works in my workplace. But I can stand. I can stand. All of a sudden, this one says, hey, man, walk away slow. This one says, hey, look, would you like to come to a party with me? And there's going to be all sorts of, and this one says, hey, look, why don't you come to church with me? And this one says, hey, look, I tell you what, let's go get this dirty movie. And this one says, I tell you what, let's come to a Christmas presentation, a cantata. Cantata's not bad, it's good. And it's at the church, and they're singing. And this one says, hey, look, I tell you what, forget that stuff. Why don't you take, and let's go over here, and let's do this, that, and the other. That's bad. And this person says, hey, no, let's come over here. And can I tell you, it is that's reality. I'm talking reality. You don't have to be mean. You could say no, thank you. I was out soul winning the other day. You know, and the guy invited me in, and I witnessed to him. He said, "You want something to drink?" I said, "Well, sure." He went into the refrigerator. Now he's not saved. He know nothing. He brought me a can of beer. So what'd you do? I said, "No, thank you. But my partner, he'll drink it." I did not. No. What I'm saying, and my partner didn't know. But what I'm saying is this: I'm saying that you don't have to be somebody that is. It is better to lead. Stay with me. Than to push. I was so excited. I got saved, man. I wanted mom and daddy saved. I pushed. All right, now can I tell you, listen, but you know the thing that won my parents over was my kindness of heart, my forgiving spirit, my doing more, my caring, me showing that I cared. Okay, thank you, be seated. Watch this. I'm saying statement number one, I'm saying establish principles in your life. Statement number two, then you build relationships based upon those established principles in your life. You know, in every church, you have all sorts of people. You have all sorts of people. You know, we have people that are just so excited about God that they will probably outjump the rapture. We have other people that are moderately excited about God. We have other people that we're just praying that they will live tomorrow. You know, I mean, they're just kind of like not excited at all. Okay, now wait a minute. In church, you're going to have all sorts of different people. Now, wait a minute, watch this. Stay with the thought here. That doesn't mean that any of these people cannot be walking the same direction. Okay, watch. When I got saved, I got supercharged because I wanted to learn the Bible. My whole, my whole, uh, My whole desire after I got saved is I want to learn the Bible. You know, there's a God in heaven that's going to teach me what is right, what is wrong. He is God. He's the creator God. And I'm supposed to live my life to please him. I better know the Bible. Because no matter what I do on earth, God is the one that's supposed to be in charge. So I am supposed to live a life that is pleasing to him. So I've got to find out how. And so I was supercharged to learn the Bible. I'm saying build relationships based on the established principles of life. What does God think about it? Is God silent on the matter? Is there something that God mentions that would help me to make the decision concerning this subject? Is there something that God is showing me that I need to put in my life right now that will help me to be what I ought to be so that my children at least have an understanding of the direction they're supposed to initially take? I mean, what is it that God is trying to show? So I build relationships based on the Bible. Okay? In the relationship, as you build relationships based on the Bible, it affects the way that you govern yourself. We had a lady when I was in Bible college. She was in a wheelchair. It was an electric wheelchair. And she was in a wheelchair, and she was a bus captain. A bus captain. Now, let me tell you the sacrifice. Here's the way it worked. She was a bus captain, but they did not have a wheelchair lift on the bus. Now, she's a bus captain for over 20 years. They did not have a wheelchair lift on the bus, but she had such a desire to reach boys and girls that every Saturday, she would go out and she would go door knocking in her wheelchair. The problem was many of the houses that she would go to had steps. She could not get up the steps. So through her own thought of what to do, she went out and got herself a cowbell. Now this is something that she thought of to do, a cowbell. So she got a cowbell. She would open the gate in her wheelchair, guide her wheelchair up to the lip of the steps, and she'd sit out there, ring the cowbell that she put on a handle. She'd ring the cowbell until the kids would come outside, until the parents would come outside. And by the way, she would go soul winning cold turkey. In other words, she would go up the house and she didn't even know. And she said, I had no trouble getting people to come outside because they saw a strange woman out there sitting in a wheelchair, ringing a cowbell. It's like, what does she want? And she said, they would come out and I'd be able to tell them about Jesus Christ. When she died, she had hundreds of boys and girls and men and women that have grown up and were refined. Some of them were refined educators. Some of them, of course, was in law enforcement. Some of them, and they came to pay tribute to the woman that led her to Christ and taught her biblical principles to live by. Now, can I tell you, it doesn't stop. Now, it doesn't stop with salvation. That's the beginning. When you get saved, God doesn't want you to be in the bed and lay down in the bed and just forget about everything. But he wants you to get up and he wants you to go out and he wants you to help people and to help be able to guide some people. And I'm saying, take those principles that you have in your life. Look, don't be somebody that lives and dies by yourself. Don't be somebody that just lives selfishly. God has given you some marvelous things. God has given you some wonderful things. And you ought to take those things that God has given you in your life and be able to take those things out and help somebody and love somebody and encourage somebody and teach somebody and guide somebody and get somebody involved with serving Jesus Christ. But don't just let it die. I'm saying this, I'm saying establish some principles in your life, statement number one. Statement number two, then build relationships based on those established principles. Proverbs chapter 15 and verse 31, the Bible says, the ear that heareth reproof of life abideth among the wise. So how do you know if somebody is growing? Okay, watch, there's two different types of people, okay? The Bible teaches that when you rebuke a scorner, that's a critical person, he'll hate you. He'll hate you. He'll talk bad about you. Can't take it. But when you rebuke a wise person, they'll love you all the more. Hey, thank you so much for telling me that. Thank you so much for guiding me that way. Boy, thank you so much for correcting me, correcting my child. Boy, thank you so much for that. Boy, I just owe you so much. Man, I've always wanted to have somebody like you. That is just so neat. I mean, they're just so thankful. But when you rebuke somebody that's a scorner, boy, they hate you. They say, well, it is not your business to tell me what to do. There's that hatred there. Proverbs chapter 10 and verse 17, the Bible says, he that is in the way of life, it says, keepeth, it says, instruction. And the Bible says, but he that refuseth rebuke erreth. Erreth. Now, by the way, we have four children. Can I tell you, there's been times where my children had erred. When I would go, Mamie or Mrs. Wells would go to rebuke them, and they had erred. And then we would try to win their hearts back, and then all of a sudden they become wiser in that. You know, we as parents, we know our children. We as moms and dads, we know how to be able to guide our children. So it's important that we understand. Statement number one, establish principles of life. Statement number two, build relationships based on those principles. Statement number three, then take the steps to correct the violated principles in your life. Take the steps. Take the steps. By the way, before a person backslides, okay, let's do it again. Come on. Same place. Watch this. Before this ever takes place visibly, ready? Go. Before this ever takes place visibly, watch this. Watch this. This is visibly. This is speaking visibly. You're seeing it. Everybody else is seeing it. Before that ever takes place, it takes place here. Before it ever comes out here, it's here. And a person sees that. Come on, you came to church today, and you know if you're excited about the preaching. You know if you're here and say, man, I am really here. I mean, I'm not just here. I am here. You know, I'm holding on to every word. Oh, it's just so good. Or you know if you're drifting. By the way, I'm sorry, but we have so much competition. Thank you, fellas. Be seated. We have so much competition today. Do you realize what a preacher has to compete with? We have to compete with the video games. We have to compete with adventure movies. We have to compete with Six Flags. We have to compete with Disney World, Disneyland. Do you realize that most people that are out there, they live according to their pleasure, not according to what God's, in other words, okay, here's the average person. You ready? They come to church, and here's what they do. I'm going to go to that church, and here's what they say. I'm going to give it a chance. I'm going to give it a chance. And they come in, and with one service, they will pass a total judgment as to whether the church is right for them or not, based on how many people smiled at them, how many people shook their hand, if they enjoyed the music, but has nothing to do with Bible preaching or teaching. Can I tell you, I have sat in counseling seminars where I have been instructed by men of God that know biblical principles that will help somebody to make right decisions. And can I tell you, in sitting in those type of places, I have been bored stiff. But I learned so much. Now, I think a preacher ought to do his best to keep it alive. I mean, if that means pounding the pulpit, if that means shaking the pulpit, if that means spitting, if that means walking back and forth, if that means maybe, okay, I'm all for that. But I'm saying this, when it comes down to living, the preacher is not going to be in your home. I love you, but I'm not coming home with you. I don't want to live with you. I love my wife. I love my kids. I'm not moving out. So somewhere along the line, here's what we got to do. We've got to say, okay, I am going to get this. I'm going to learn this. I'm going to allow this to become a part of my life, and I'm going to allow this to govern me every single step of the way. So what do? We take steps to correct violated principles. You trace it back to where it was violated. You trace it back to where you started not walking with God, where you started your heart not being as tender. And you decide that here's what you're going to do in your personal life. You're going to make a change so you can walk with God. The Bible says in 1 Corinthians chapter 11 and verse 28, the Bible says, let every man examine himself. The Bible says, so let him eat the bread and to drink of the cup. Verse 31, the Bible says, for if we would not judge ourselves, we should not be judged. The Bible says that if we would judge ourselves, we would not be judged. All right, so I'm supposed to examine this. I'm supposed to examine it. Now, watch this. We can all be what we should be in church. Preacher gets done preaching. You sit, you listen, you're attentive. You got it. Wow. Principle, Bible truth, got it. Wow. Super. Yay. Okay. But then when it comes time to get up and shake around, shake hands, you can be friendly. And we need friendliness in our churches. I mean, we need people that's going to smile and shake hands and say, hey, look, hey, want to go out to lunch? Hey, you want to go over here? Hey, I heard there's Christmas lights over in Tyler. You want to go over there and look at the Christmas lights? You want to, there has to be people that takes the principles that are taught, the principles that are preached, and put them in activity. There has to be that. You cannot live and die to yourself and help other people. Statement number one, I said this. I said, establish principles of life. Statement number two, build relationships based on those established principles. Statement number three, then you start to correct yourself when you find out you personally violated these principles. Statement number four, and I'm done, and that is this. And that is start projects to strengthen those steps. Start projects. I heard one man say this. He said, man, he said, I just got tired of it. I would say to my wife, honey, where do you want to go to eat? My wife would respond, anywhere you want to. And I would say, let's go here. And my wife would say, I don't want to go there. And then she would say, but I'll go any place else you want. And he would say, well, let's go here. And she would say, I don't want to go there. So he said, I had to come up with a plan. And I like what he came up with. He said, so our date night is on Friday. And he said, I put in a shoebox all of the places that I would like to go eat. I'm sorry, put in a shoebox all the places she would like to go eat. She has to fill the card out by Friday, put in a shoebox all the places she would like to go eat. And on one Friday, I put my hand in the shoebox, I pull one out, and that's where we go. Settled, done. No more discussion. She got to choose the places, and I got to choose the place. Then every other Friday, we swap. Then I put in there all the restaurants I like to go to, and she gets to pick out of that one, and she puts her hand in there, and he said it takes her forever to pull it out. I mean, she's trying to feel it like she's trying to read these cards with her hand, the seeing hand. And he said, but finally she'll grab a hold of one and she'll pull it up. And I can always tell if she's excited, he said, when she pulls up the one that she really liked. But that was what we decided, and that's what we do. I know families that do stuff like that. They have family nights on Friday. And they let their kids have a part where they'll have a shoebox or something, and they'll take and they'll put all these different events in there, and they take turns with the children pulling something out, and that's the activity they'll do for the night. And they go through all the children, letting them, okay, you say, what is that? That's a principle that they established in their home not to fuss and fight. Come on. We have principles in our home. One of the things that we practice is the fact that we just do not like talking bad about people. He was raised that way. We're not going to tear somebody down. We're not going to do it. We're not going to shred somebody up and spit them out. We're not going to do it. We're going to take and we're going to help people and guide. Now, I'm saying this. I'm saying you start projects that will strengthen And you take steps of those correction. Let me give you one last thought, and I'm done. Over in 2 Timothy chapter 3 and in verse 16, you know it well. All scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness. Verse 17, the Bible says that a man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. All right? So we're supposed to put in what somebody else could take out and be able to go about doing those good works. There's a fascinating principle somebody wrote years ago. It's called the Golden Rule. It was a man by the name of Bernard Rimland. Bernard Rimland was in charge of the Institute of Child Behavior Research. And he instituted this, what he called the Golden Rule. And what he did is he took an experiment as he did this, and he said, I'm going to find out from people, I'm going to have 10 people, and he said, and then I'm going to have 10 people here, and he said, I'm going to interview them, and he said, it was amazing how they divided themselves up, and it became an even 10 and 10, unusually so. He said, but there was 10 people that were very devoted, very, if you would please, interested in the well-being of other people. Then there was others that the other 10 was divided up, and he said, you know, of course we had to switch them around what groups we interviewed. We put the 10 over here that was very interested in other people and sacrificially giving and loving and caring. And he said, then we put these other people over here that was not that way, and we found that they were very self-centered. It was all about me. It was all about what I wanted to do. Then he said, at continuing the interview, we found out that these people here were the happiest. And these people here that were self-centered and I want to do this and give me this and my way and whatnot, these were the most unhappy people. Now, can I tell you that it is very important that you put principles in your life. You put principles in your life that will govern you. Now, I don't know about you. I love reading books. I mean, I enjoy reading books. Give me a cup of coffee and a good book, and I'm happy. I love reading books. But can I tell you that sometimes my daughter wants to go shopping? And for me to walk down the mall reading a book is not good. I'm going to walk over some older lady. It's not going to be a good thing. All right? Sometimes my guys want to do certain things that you know, whether it's a you know, maybe going on a bike ride, or maybe it's just dad and me time as we go to a gun show or something like that, and they want to do certain things whereby I have to give of myself. My dear wife, very, very sacrificial, but many, many times, you know, she will not necessarily give a hint, but I catch a hint, and when I do that, I love to do that with her. Now, why? Because as you invest your life in someone, can I tell you, I'm gonna tell this to my daughter, and I want to, you know, she, Charlotta, which is Dr. Jeff Owens' daughter, and her are very good friends. Charlotta's dog died, had cancer and died. So some members in the church here, and I'm not sure who all was involved, but helped my daughter to be able to find a dog. You know, a collie? What was it, a lab? Find a dog, a lab, you know, and she was able to get the price down and stuff like that, and she said, Dad, she said, I would really like to buy this for Charlotta. She's hurting so bad. I'd really like to buy this for her. Do you think that would be all right? And I said, honey, that's hundreds of dollars. She said, but you don't understand. She's meant so much to me in teaching me and helping me and living for the Lord, and I'd just like to do something special. So last night, I'm studying for sermons, and the lady calls and says, you know, we decided to let you have it for that price, and could you come get it? And my daughter looked at me, and my daughter said, Dad, can we go get it? Well, you know, I didn't say, no, I got sermons to study for. You go yourself. I said, absolutely, let's go get it. So now we got it, and we don't know what to do with it. Puppies whine. Did you know that? It's like we got a kid in her house all over again. Until she can get the dog. We're trying to find out a fast way to get it there. I don't know, like mailbox or something. But can I tell you, listen, you know, just loving people. Loving people. But using those principles. And it's a blessing when you see your own children loving somebody else. That's a blessing.
Thank you for joining us today. For more audio or video content, you can visit our website at parksidebaptist.org.